Just as a way of reminder, as we talk about our responsibility in encouraging each other, just the definition itself obviously means that we're giving courage, we're giving confidence, we're giving comfort. We are trying to build each other up and give each other, you know, to equip each other in whatever avenues, whatever struggles we might be having. We have a responsibility in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. We are given a responsibility, we're given a command to encourage one another. And so I'm not permitted to say, well, I'm just not good at that. That's not me. I'm going to leave that to the people that are good at that and I'll go do something else. It's a responsibility that God has given to each and every one of us. And the purpose of it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 is so that each of us can encourage the other to walk worthy of God. Your brethren need your encouragement in order that they might walk worthy of God. And you need their encouragement in order that you might walk worthy of God. And Ephesians 4 and verse 16 says, when we are all doing that, when we are all fulfilling these one another commands in this pronoun being a reciprocal pronoun, meaning everybody's involved, when we all do our part, Ephesians 4 and verse 16 says, it leads to the growth of the body. And so tonight, what I want to do is to finish what we started last week. Last week, we started in an endeavor to say, can we come up with 101 ways to encourage each other? And I think we made it through 14 last week. And so here's the first nine, or how many is on the screen? First nine. We're going to zip through some of these tonight. So if you're trying to take notes, I am going to give you a little handout at the end of class that has the ones that I have on the screen. So if you miss some of this, you'll get it at the end of class, not before, because then you won't be paying attention. What can I do personally? What can I do to encourage my brethren? The word itself simply means that I'm there. I am beside that person. I make myself available to them. I go to them. And then just the idea that we talked about all of these last week, giving warm, genuine hugs, praying for each other and telling each other, I'm praying for you. I'm thankful for you. Your faith encourages me. And all of these are not just made up out of the blue. They have a scriptural premise and a scriptural foundation for them. We're tying number 7 and number 8 together on the next several slides, and that is, I can send cards. I can send handwritten cards. You know, form letters are good for their purposes, and emails are good for their purposes. But when you get that handwritten card, it just is an indication somebody took a little bit of extra time. How often do you see handwriting today? You know, everything is so electronic. But if I could send a handwritten card, sometimes in certain situations, I don't know what to say. I'm not sure what words to use. Well, what if you just go and use God's words? And if in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, it says, those things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through the patience or perseverance, depending on what translation you have, the patience and the comfort, New American Standard says, the perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures might have hope. Where can I get encouragement to give to somebody else? Romans 15 verse 4 says, the Bible is a book of encouragement if we'll just turn to it and use it. Sometimes it's just those words about heaven that are very encouraging. But here's some categories of people that we could send cards to. And it may be that in some situations we just simply say, you know what, I don't know what to say. You're facing a situation and my words, my vocabulary, I don't know exactly what to say. And so let me just share this verse with you that has been meaningful to me. And so if you write to someone who is sick, we've talked about these last week. If you write to someone who is bereaved, someone who is lonely, someone who is downcast, I don't know what to say, but Isaiah 40 and verse 31 has sure helped me through times. And don't just say Isaiah 40, 31 and make them go look it up. Take the time to to write it out. Take the time to underline portions of a verse that are meaningful to you. There are those individuals in this congregation who are spiritually weak. What can I do? Somebody struggling with their faith. What can I do to encourage them? I know you're going through a hard time right now. Let me just encourage you. Hear these words from, and pick a verse. You don't have to use. These are just examples of things that I can do, things I can say, when maybe my words don't have it. They don't have the emphasis. They don't have the strength that are needed. You write to somebody who's discouraged. And what about including some parts of Philippians chapter 4? Where God says, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, it'll guard your hearts and your minds. Verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know you're discouraged, but remember that the Lord is there with you. Think about cards that you can write to individuals who are struggling with their faith, but then they return to the Lord. How often do people come forward and confess wrong and ask for forgiveness and ask for prayers? And sometimes we neglect reaching out to them, restoring them, restoring our love to them. What about somebody, one of our brethren who is overtaken in sin? And the devil's got a hold of them. What can I do? You know, last week we talked about categories of people who need encouragement, and you all listed a lot of these. What can I do to encourage them? What about somebody who's just going through a hard time? It's not a faith struggle. It's not a spiritual struggle. It's a life struggle. Isaiah 41 and verse 10 is probably in the top two or three of my favorite verses in all the Bible. God says, I am with you. You don't need to be afraid. When you think about sitting down, you know, what can I do? What can I say that can bring encouragement to a widow? In the book of Psalms, it says that God has put the solitary. God has set the solitary in families. Sometimes widows feel like they're all alone. Psalm says God took the solitary and he put them in families. God put the widow in your family. You need to tell that widow, I'm glad you're in my family. I'm glad that we're a part of the same family together. You ever written a card to new parents? That after all of the jokes and after all of the jabs at them, do you give them any kind of encouragement that they might be able to survive in the days ahead? What about newlyweds? You ever written a card to a newlywed? Here in Ephesians 5, what if every time it has the word husbands or the word wives, you just inserted that person's name? Just write a card to them, and instead of husbands love your wives, David loved Tracy as Christ loved the church. Make it personal. What about new converts? Sit down and write a card to try to encourage them and use God's word to encourage them. You ever written a card to a teenager? Probably the verse that jumps out at us the most is 1 Timothy chapter 4. Unfortunately, I think sometimes our young people are resentful when they hear that verse. And maybe because they think that we think that's the only verse in the Bible that's for them, when there's a lot more than that. But do you see any of our teenagers who need encouragement? Just remember as you are going through school, remember as you're going through your day, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Whatever it might be. And here's a slew of other cards that we can write. You need to call up a bookstore and order a box of cards. You need to order a case of cards. You need to go to USPS.com and order 5 coils of stamps. Get 500 stamps. Then you won't run out. They'll deliver them to your house. Isn't that nice of the post office? They'll deliver them right to your house so that they can take them back from you when you get ready to mail something. There's a lot of ways, and obviously more than cards, and we've spent about 30 of these talking about different people. We talked about this one last week. We are getting ready to start a new Bible class quarter. In your bulletin next week, will be the list of all of the teachers that are teaching our children up and down this hallway over here. What if you sat down next week with that bulletin and you just wrote a card to each of them? Good luck. I said, no, man, they got you, though. I'll be thinking about you when I'm sitting in the padded pew in the air conditioned and I don't have any kids around me. And I'm having a good Bible study. And if you survive, maybe we'll get lunch. After you finish that part of it, is there anything encouraging that you can say? There's all sorts of people who need a word of encouragement to help them through their Christian life. What can I do to be an encouragement? Tell somebody that I appreciate them. At least twice in the last 5 years, we've done those appreciograms that we put out. That you just have a way to write a sentence or two. Here's what I appreciate about you. That's easy to do. To send somebody a card that says, you know, I was reading the Bible the other day and I read, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God, and I thought about you. And so, maybe not that verse, but I was reading another verse and I thought of it, it just reminded me of you. And send it on. You've got good friends. Some of your best friends are in the church. How often have you written them a card to say, just thinking about you. I want you to know that you're special to me. What can I do to encourage other people? Does pride encourage? Does a humble spirit? Is a humble spirit encouraging? Just the possession and the exhibition of that humble spirit, is that encouraging? Being courteous? Being polite? We're specifically talking about encouraging Christians and brethren, but have you ever noticed how odd the person behind the counter at McDonald's or at the drive-thru or at the Publix, the grocery store? Have you ever noticed how odd they think it is when you're so nice and polite and courteous to them? You know, they look at you like, you on something? You know, are you all there? Because they're not used to it. They're used to the people chewing their ear off, and then you come and you're nice to them, and they're like, what do you want? You know, are you after something? You want a discount? You know, it's they think you're trying to get something. What about to our brethren? How often do we show a kind spirit? Does speaking the truth, is that encouraging? Is the forgiving each other or holding a grudge? Which one is more encouraging? Forgiveness? Holding a grudge, speaking, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, speaking with grace, seasoned with salt, distributing to each one's needs, being given to hospitality. Have you ever been encouraged more than when you got invited over to somebody's house? In the last year, or let's just put it in 2011, since January of this year, how many homes of your brethren have you been invited to? Would you need more than one hand to count it? How many people have you invited into your home? Would you need more than one hand to count it? If we want to encourage each other, hospitality is a great way to do it. In Romans chapter 12, it's full of practical ideas to be kind, to bless those who persecute you, to genuinely rejoice with when something good has happened with somebody else in their life. Do you ever rejoice with them? Not just inside. Do you let them know that you're happy for what's happening? You rejoice with them. When somebody's weeping, when something bad has happened, are you there and weeping with them? How strongly are we trying to be peaceable people? Jesus in Matthew 5 talked about being a peacemaker. Is a peacemaker, is that encouraging? When somebody tries to solve conflicts, Janice? Don't forget our high school graduates. So when you're thinking about those who need encouragement, Jeremy just graduated yesterday. Was it yesterday or Monday? Yesterday. They gave you a real diploma, did they, Jeremy? It's authentic. So it's official. Jeremy's no longer in high school. And sometimes we forget about those folks. because they're not in our high school youth program anymore. Jeremy, is Satan aware that you're done with high school? Yeah, I think he probably is. Does he need encouragement to remain faithful in what he's doing? What about some of these other ones? An attitude of thankfulness. Is that encouraging? When instead of having a grumpy attitude, somebody has an attitude of gratitude, is thankful, and expresses that thanks. Is that encouraging to you? How often do you express thanks to other people for even the smallest of things? How often have you expressed thanks to the people who teach our Bible classes for preparing 26 times in a quarter to walk in there and teach our children? When we compliment each other, it's encouraging. When we sometimes is necessary for us to warn each other about where things are going and the consequences of our actions. Bible says we're to serve one another. We're to bear one another's burdens. We're to be patient with each other. Do you know anybody who's bearing some real struggles right now? Have you thought about going over there and getting up under that struggle with them and helping them to carry it? You know, the only way sometimes we know if somebody's having some struggles is if we actually get involved in their life. How about worshiping with each other? Does it encourage you to come together and to be able to worship with each other? And not just be in the room together, but to be able to earnestly, thoughtfully, passionately be involved in our worship. To be able to sing with one another. What is Ephesians 5:19 says that our singing is doing? Ephesians 5:19 says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We're teaching. We're encouraging. We're admonishing each other. Bill? It absolutely is. Flip over to Hebrews chapter 10, and thank you, Bill, for saying that. Are there individuals who make it to worship when you know they're hurting? Who come to worship when you know that they're not feeling 100%? That they're here and it takes them a while to get from the car to their pew because of the physical ailments and difficulties they're having. And yet they're here when sometimes a simple headache, a stubbed toe, a bad haircut might keep some of us from being here until everything is smoothed out. Is that encouraging? Does it encourage you to walk in and see Silas Moses here? Yeah. Why? Because Silas could be at home sitting in his recliner and asleep, but instead he comes here. Is that it? Does Silas have to say anything? Do words have to come out of his mouth for that to be encouraging? You see, encouragement happens. I'm not trying to embarrass you, Silas, but I'm glad you're awake. Encouragement happens sometimes on purpose. By a deliberate act, sometimes encouragement happens. Sometimes encouragement happens and we're not even trying to do it. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 says, let us consider, be thoughtful, be mindful of each other. Let us consider one another in order to do what? In order to stir up love and good works. Do we need each other to encourage us, to stir us up for love and good works? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some people. But, and Bill said this, exhorting one another. What does that mean? The writer of Hebrews uses this word throughout the book. exhorting each other, encouraging each other. Sometimes exhortation can be simple with some people. It just takes a kind word. Sometimes exhortation might need a sharp stick with some people. Not recommended. What's our responsibility? Consider each other. Be mindful of each other. Stir and encourage each other in order that we might worship together and be a part of this. How often do we as an encourager just need to be that safe place that our brother can run to? Kathy Payne, I talked to Kathy today about her sister Jean and the struggles that they're going through in her medical evaluation and treatment. And Jean has had a time of it in the last several years. And today they're trying to find out, does she have a blood clot or not? So they're running all of these tests, and they find out that the cancer is now, what's the word, metastasized, or how do you say that word? And now it has spread even further. And so when Jean came back to her room today after the tests, Kathy went out to get some fresh air. And so while she's sitting out there trying to gather herself, here comes Tina Wagner walking by. And Kathy said to me on the phone, God brought Tina right when I needed her. I needed that shoulder to cry on. Did Tina get up today and decide, I think I'm going to encourage Kathy Payne today? Did she deliberately walk down whatever that walkway was and say, you know what, Kathy's over there and I am going to go encourage her whether she likes it or not? No. But sometimes it's just being there. And sometimes it's being that place where somebody feels love and feels that comfort that they can't get from anybody else other than a brother or sister in Christ. If you live with the church first in your life, is that encouraging to other people? If they see that's an obvious priority in your life, that's encouraging. How about visiting our widows? How about instead of just visiting them, you go a step further and you call them. And you say, I'm coming to your house on Saturday. Don't ask them. I mean, you need to be polite and kind, of course. But if you ask them, they go, oh, you know, you don't need to do anything. I'm coming over on Saturday. You make a list of the things you need me to do when I get there. Sometimes we say, why don't you call me? If you need me, call me. When was the last time somebody called you when you said that? When you said, if you need anything, give me a call. 99% of the time, you're safe. They're not going to call you. Somebody had a friend? Yep. Yep, in Job 29, something transpired that made a difference in the life of a widow. By the way, as you read the book of Job had two different sets of friends. And he told that first set of friends, you all are a bunch of miserable comforters. His friends came to help him out. And he said, guys, you failed. You've made this worse for me. Hopefully we're not that kind of encourager where they might turn to us and say, you know, this is not helping me. Here's something that's hard. If we're going to be an encourager, we can't show partiality. Because if we show partiality, that might be encouraging to the one who's receiving the special treatment and may be discouraging to someone who knows they may be getting left out. So we need to be careful in how we approach that. What about getting here early? I know that's hard for some, but getting here early and utilizing that time to spend together. What about making something just your thing to do for people? June's thing to do for people is she takes them a chicken pot pie. Some of you have been recipients of those chicken pot pies. Okay, not putting any pressure on June. Let's see, how many people in here want a chicken pot pie from June? Okay, June, your work's cut out for you. All right, now, The rest of you, you're lying, okay? You do want one. Okay, so, but that's June's thing. So nobody else can have chicken pot pie, okay? That's June's thing. But when somebody's sick, somebody's come home from the hospital, I don't know how June chooses them, but I hear through the grapevine, yep, June came by and brought me a chicken pot pie. You need to find something that's your thing. And for whoever it is, you know, if it's Rose Martin's chocolate cake, that's one of the most encouraging things in the world, is Rose Martin's chocolate cake. Are you raising your hand for that one too, Darren? Yeah, apparently. Find your thing that you can do for people that has something special as you a part of it. And that may take some work on your part. Remember what we learned about Barnabas, and a lot of these lessons come from Barnabas. We need to be willing to sacrifice our time and to do it without complaining about it. You know, we might sacrifice our time, but we might let the person know, you know, I really don't have time to be doing this. You know, if we're there trying to help somebody, but all the while talking about where we need to be and what we need to be doing, guess what we just did? We killed our efforts to encourage by indicating that we had an elsewhere that we would rather be. Think about the fact that we need to be encouragers, but we don't need to be grumpy encouragers. When Paul says in Philippians 2:14, do all things without grumbling, murmuring, or complaining, I think that would include the encouraging side of it. Be somebody who looks for the positive things in life. How about offering some babysitting to some of our single moms, to some of our young couples who have kiddos? And finding out what brethren like and surprising them? So somebody, you know, obviously, I think all of us like an Outback steak, right? I mean, I don't know if we're picky about that. I'm not trying to put things on here that cost a lot of money. You know, I like the fresh smell of a brand new car. You know, I mean, that's always nice. It's, you know, somebody's going to get me one of those air fresheners now. I can see it. No, thank you. All right. But little things. You find out somebody likes something and you just get it for them. You find out somebody is trying to buy a new house. Somebody's trying and you just, you know, have you seen that? I just saw this one the other day. Somebody's looking for a sale on shoes. You know, oh, I was just over at such and such a place and you need to check it out. Whatever, you know, whatever the silly thing might be. But those things, what about just calling everybody in the church and say, hey, how you doing? I'm just calling. I wanted to see how things were going. A lot of other things. I want to get your input before this class is over. How about standing up for somebody when they've been wronged? That's what Barnabas did. Being the one who steps out there and presents yourself to do that. Barnabas encouraged brethren to remain true to the Lord. Barnabas encouraged new converts to continue in the faith. What about apologizing? What about saying, I'm sorry? Even if the other person is more sorry than you, what about saying, you know what, I'm sorry. I was wrong. You know, on Sunday we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where it talks about taking our brethren to court. And Paul says, you know what, why don't you just accept the wrong? You know, and sometimes for the good of our relationships, and in order to, what's our purpose in encouraging? That each one may walk worthy of God. You know, it could be that my lack of forgiveness of someone, or it could be that my lack of owning up to something that I've done might be causing someone to have a hard time walking worthy of the Lord. Think about our responsibility in our relationship. Last screen, and then I want to get some of your feedback. What about just inviting somebody to come along with you? You're going out for the day to go shopping. You're going out for the day. You got to run down to the Paraguayan consulate down in Miami, and it's going to take you all day. How about calling a widow? How about calling somebody? Hey, I've got to run down here. You want to come with me? It's going to be a boring drive. Sorry, you know, but you want to come with me and hang out? Doesn't cost you a dollar. But you spend some time with somebody in the process. And isn't that what Paul did with Timothy? Hey, Timothy, you want to tag along? Be there for the big event. If there's the graduation party, if there's the wedding, you know, whatever it is that they've invited you to come to, be there. Go the extra mile. Sometimes you just need to be there to listen. You need to take a back seat. You need to be sensitive, especially to people who are lonely. Turn on that radar and watch out for those people. Send a card of congratulations. Send a thing of flowers. Exercise patience. Is that encouraging? How about just a simple smile? You may not have to say anything, but can a simple smile, can that be a dose of encouragement? Look for opportunities that you can be of encouragement to somebody. And don't just look for them. Create them. Make them. Make them happen. What's the age, Gorman? What's the age of your neighbor? 81. It wasn't 86. Last week, I'm going to mess this slide up for a second. Last week, Gorman, was it last week or this week? It was? Last Saturday. Gorman's recently widowed neighbor, very lonely. Gorman goes down to the wherever, gets him a dog. All right, that's too specific, all right? You may not have an 81-year-old, recently widowed neighbor who would even want a dog, but here's someone looking out and saying, you know, I'm going to do something here. And just thought I'd throw you a bone there, Gorman. And yeah, Jojo was the name of the dog. You still got the picture on you? So, oh, it's in the car. Yeah, he'll get it for you. All right, what can we do? That's 101. How about 102? What can we do to encourage each other? Mickey? Sit with a visitor in Bible class or worship. Cam, you're in charge. Get all these to everybody. Recruit Nate and Stephen and Dirk. All right, your thing's coming around. Okay. Mickey said, whoops. Sit with a visitor. In Bible class or worship. Why do you say that, Mickey?
Helps you feel comfortable.
Good. What can I do? What can I do to be an encourager? Or, let me ask it this way. Make it maybe a little less personal. What have you seen done? What have you seen people do that you thought was encouraging? What has somebody done for you in the past that encouraged you? Gene. Listening does not require the use of the mouth. I'll just put what Gene said. Okay. Sometimes you just need somebody to listen and not answer and not fix. That's especially a man problem. In John Gray's book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, very good read for those of you who are trying to figure out what planet you're from. In Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, John Gray says that men are Mr. Fix-It. That's our name. We are Mr. Fix-It. When the wife comes and pours out the activities of the day, we want to go and fix it when all she wanted was just somebody to listen. And sometimes that's the way it is with our brethren. It's okay to call somebody and say how you're doing, and then you don't actually get to say anything else for the next 5 minutes. It's okay to let them talk because that's what they want to do. Let them talk it out. What has somebody done that you've seen happen? They've done it for you. They've done it for somebody else. And you thought, you know, that really made a difference. Okay, take a difficult child during worship. So that, as Tina said, so that she could worship. So somebody took, I will not ask which child, but somebody took a difficult child, although she did say in the lunch on Sunday that Daniel had never caused her a day of trouble. So maybe it wasn't Daniel. Take a difficult child during worship so that the parent can worship. Okay, what else? Yes, Bonnie. Sitting beside me when I was alone. You mean here or somewhere else? Here? So not just sit with a visitor in Bible class or worship. Go sit down. You know, we've all got our assigned seats, though, don't we? Do you know the looks that I get on Wednesday nights when I'm moving this thing back and all of these people have to move out of their seats? I'm serious. If I was thin-skinned, I'd be crying because of the looks that people give me. It's a personal affair. Never mind. Okay. Encouragement. Sorry, Joe, I wasn't thinking about you. Encouragement. What has somebody done? What can we do? Dan. Total surprise. So, surprise parents. Go to house. Oops, that's a surprise. That's close enough. Surprise parents, go to house and watch kids. Let them go on a date. Should I fix that? What else? What can we do? Jim, bring a visitor. Is that encouraging? Does that encourage you to do it? Mary? So Mary's just going to add it to our list. Don't be afraid to move from your favorite pew. All right. Darren. Uh-huh. Sometimes the little kids get overlooked, don't they? But here's Darren, who's now 42 years old, and he says he remembers, you know, Harold Pack coming over and talking to him like he was a real person. And having a conversation with him. Does that change lives? Do you want our kids to feel like they're a part of the church or not? Do you want them to feel that this is a warm and friendly place even for them? And that they are really cared about? Somebody else? Jackie? Okay. So pay for a teen to go on a youth activity where they may not be able to afford to go otherwise. That's where I thought you were going, and then you broadened it, but I'll like camp. Some of you are parents of teens in here. Do we have any activities that cost money as parents of teens? It's hard to have activities that don't cost money sometimes. Does anybody else besides the Fullers have three kids in the youth group all at the same time? That makes it fun. But there always have been and there always will be some of our young people that they cannot afford these activities. And I think Jackie said you kind of do it anonymously. You give the money to Casey, you let him know what it's for, and then he can take care of making sure the kids are taken care of. Harrison? Do we have people in this church that have particular skills, particular trades they're good at, that very, very good that we can use those to help each other? We're almost out of time. We got about 2 minutes. What else you got? What has somebody done? What have you seen done? Joan?
Yes, getting
help during hurricanes. Is that a prediction? Oh, that's past tense. Okay. Hurricanes. See, I can't see it until like 2 seconds after you all see it. So I know my fingers mess up, but I got to wait to see it to where they messed up. Janice? I am sensing a real theme here that when somebody comes, slide down your pew to the middle rather than make them step over your big old knees to get across. I'll leave off the knees part, but slide down your pew to the middle. You know, that there is a special place in heaven for people who give up their in pews. I'm confident. Jackie? Yeah. The using of skills to help others, Jackie says, works both ways. It encourages both that are involved. Dirk? Okay. Mike? I heard the first part, sharing information. Okay. We're going to have to get these quick. Betsy? Hiring brethren? Is that what you said? Okay. For jobs around the house or for trades or something like that? Does two hands mean that you really want to say it, Giselle? What you got? Okay. So sign. I don't have the ability to no, my computer right now, it's not doing the whole I love you thing. My computer, in fact, never says I love you to me. But sign I love you. And because sometimes Giselle says you can't get to everybody to give them a hug. Sally? Oh, a hand over. Oh, okay. Thank you. Last one. Okay. So we need to, you mentioned more than just shopping, but doing things for the widows and elderly, taking our time to do things for them. Does this give us any ideas? Is there anything that you and I can be doing more than what we're doing? God says encourage one another. And here are 118 ideas that we've come up with. Surely there's one or two that you can take and that you can do something with in order to help each other. We're a couple minutes over. Thank you all for your attention and your good participation in this class.